What's going on? What's happening? What are you telling me?
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
It's time for the Pop Culture Connoisseurs, a gal and a gay podcast with Kitty.
One time she punched me in the face. It was awesome.
And Nick.
He's the gay of my dreams.
And they have this book, this burn book, where they write mean things about all the girls in our grade.
What does it say about me?
You're not in it.
Those bitches.
All right, welcome to episode 148 of A Gal and a Gay. We're the Pop Culture Connoisseurs. I'm Mick.
And I'm Kitty. Thanks for joining us. We're really putting the gay in
gay lately, right?
You know?
Absolutely.
Last one was about gay stuff. This one's gay stuff.
Yeah. We're all about the gay.
That's right.
And Kitty's actually a little tired.
I'm tired because
she's so emotional.
Because I've been crying through a whole movie that we just went and watched. A good cry.
So this week we are talking about Love, Simon, which was just released a few days ago. It did pretty well, I think, at the box office. It came in fifth this week. Hard to top Black Panther,
right.
Tomb Raider, A Wrinkle in Time.
Right.
And
considering the type of movie it is, I thought, and what it's up against, it's pretty good. But it has great 91% score on Rotten Tomatoes and then 92% with the audience. So that, if that tells you anything, it's very good.
And there is an audience for this.
Absolutely.
It made this past weekend $11 million, which is still, it's pretty good. And overall, I think this is the first mainstream movie about a coming of age story of a gay teen.
I agree.
Fantastic.
And little rom-com-y too, you know, like it's. Yeah, it's definitely, it is like a John Hughes film or any of those sorts of coming of age films were really popular back in the day. It's like that, but about a gay teen. And it's,
yeah.
I mean, it was phenomenal. I loved every moment of it. I loved everything about it. Like I said, crying like every 15 minutes.
So do you regret not going to the screening with
Yes,
me?
I do.
It was
but
great.
I do like seeing movies on Sunday afternoons. That's kind of a nice thing.
I was happy it was my second time. And I'm going to go see it again.
I would love to see it again. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what exactly this movie is about, besides just a coming-of-age coming-of-age story about a gay teen. Nick Robinson plays Simon Spear, who has this huge secret. He's a senior. He has this huge secret about being gay, and he's been keeping it from his friends and family and classmates. And so basically that is kind of the premise and how the movie starts out. But then it goes into some unexpected directions.
Mm-hmm.
One of those directions being that it turns into a mystery because he connects with another classmate who is also gay but who is not out, and they discover each other because this other closeted teen posts on this gossip blog
kind
of thing, saying that he was thinking about coming out.
Been a long time since I've been in high school. Is this, do kids do this
know.
Thing?
I don't know
either. But I bet they do.
I bet they do.
I didn't even think about that. But, like, yeah, the internet wasn't really a big thing when I was in high school, so.
We didn't even have email when I was in high school, so. I'm sure you had email.
I didn't have one, like, I checked regularly.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a computer at home, but I used it to download stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
But.
Most of the time,
how we use it now.
Most of the time we used it only in computer lab. That was the only time I ever used it. Anyway, we were not blogging about each other's secrets, that's for sure.
Right. Well, there's like post-secret. And I can see this. This is probably a thing. Again, we're not in this generation.
We're not in this generation.
But this generation, this new generation, needs a movie like this. And I wish we had a movie like this.
Yeah.
When we were
growing
up. But
I agree.
Again, it takes a while for times to really change.
Right.
I was also very impressed. I mean, Nick Robinson is great.
Oh my God,
Simon.
I love him.
And let's kind of get this out of the way. So the reason why I think this really kind of breaks some barriers is because this is, his portrayal of Simon is not the typical portrayal of a gay male
right
person.
It's not your stereotypical.
And there's nothing wrong with people.
No,
but
no, no.
And there is another right. classmate in there who is out right. and a little bit more on the flamboyant right. side. So you have that. So this is kind of covering the entire right. gamut of right. different types.
The spectrum of gay.
Yeah,
yeah.
The spectrum. Yes, the spectrum of gay.
Yes.
And so Nick would be someone that maybe wouldn't be as obvious. So it's easy right. for him to kind of blend in. To mm-hmm. I guess kind of his surroundings in school. Yeah. They state that he did have some girlfriends, mm-hmm. but he's not pursuing it. And the one thing another thing I really liked about the movie is we're not just dealing with him trying to figure out if he's gay. And the heart
right.
he knows he's gay.
Yeah, he knows he's gay. He knows
he's not
he's
going
gay.
Backwards.
He's not ready to say it yet.
He's just trying to figure out how to come out.
Right, exactly. And the fact that he's connected with another kid going through the same thing, mm-hmm. you know, that in the whole mystery of who that is, mm-hmm. I think that's the best part, honestly. Yeah. It's just really sweet.
And the supporting characters.
Oh my gosh. Great, great cast of young, talented people in this movie.
So a few people that we recognize mm-hmm. instantly, you recognize Catherine Langford.
Catherine Langford, who was in 13 Reasons Why, the Netflix series. She was the main girl. I forget what her name was mm-hmm. in the show. But you know, you'll know her. She was Hannah Baker on mm-hmm. 13 Reasons Why. And I think her star is on the rise. She's very good. She's very pretty. She's just, you know, she's just a interesting young, woman mm-hmm. who I think is going to go far. She's really talented. So
I think a lot of these characters I think kind of every decade has kind of had that teen rom-com or sitcom where it's like, these are the stars on
right,
the rise.
Right.
So, you know, back in the 80s, you had the Brat Pack, mm-hmm. you had in the 90s, you had Heath Ledger, yep. Julia Stiles. I mean, just
Jennifer Hewitt.
Jennifer Garner
right? in it. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of those, but mm-hmm. there, you know, like Ryan Phillippe and yeah. Reese Witherspoon.
Yep.
And, I mean, there's Sarah Michelle Gellar. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there was a lot of that. Yeah.
yeah.
So, yeah, I think everyone does. You always had these teen ensemble movies that are...
Right. Another one is Alexandra Shipp, who plays Abby.
Yes.
She is Storm.
She plays
the
younger
X-Men.
Storm in the new series of X-Men. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
She was in Straight Out of Compton. Mm-hmm. Again, I think she is definitely
great.
One to watch.
Right. She was great, too. Mm-hmm. They were all just really great. They have really great chemistry. And you know who else is great in this is Jennifer Garner and Josh Duhamel.
Oh, my gosh.
They played a perfect married couple.
Absolutely.
I don't know. It was the whole family dynamic to his family. I don't know. It was just everybody worked so well
right.
together.
And one of our friends who went to see the movie with us today, she's like, I want them to be my parents. Like, me too. Like, they're just so, they're great together.
Right, exactly.
And who knew Josh Duhamel could act?
Who knew?
Wow. I mean, really
you
act.
You usually don't get to see it.
Really act.
But you know what? I've always liked Josh Duhamel.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Even in some of his cornier films, he just seems like a likable guy. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was nice to see them. Jennifer Garner, too. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a great, great movie.
And it's not depressing.
No.
There are moments that are, I guess, could be a little uncomfortable because there is a little bit of gay bashing.
Yeah.
A little mm-hmm. bit. Mm-hmm. But it's there for a reason.
Right.
And the way it's handled, I thought, was spot on.
Right. You know, because I think that there are still kids out there who are going to make fun of other kids for being gay and that sort of thing. I mean, unfortunately. But you know how high school kids are. They're stupid.
Oh, they are.
They do stupid stuff.
They're all stupid.
And they say stupid things. So, mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah. I don't know. It's just a great film.
Yeah.
Really great film.
Okay, so let's get into the interviews with some of the cast
yes.
here. We're first going to start with Simon himself, Nick Robinson. He's going to talk to us. He's going to mention a little bit about the mystery, about falling in love, and getting to know someone. And then Catherine Langford will talk about, she's a big fan of the book. So this was based on a book not called Love, Simon.
No, it's called Simon and the versus the Homo Sapiens agenda or something like that. Not a great listen, not a great title in my book.
but Catherine loved it.
She loved it. So, I mean, I'm curious just to see. I would read it just because if it's anything like this movie was, I'd probably love it. Don't love the title, but.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll start with Nick, and then we'll go to Catherine, then we'll come back and chat.
Great.
He reaches out to Blue, just hoping that he might respond and be open to some kind of discussion, and he is, and they do, and he has a very lengthy correspondence with this person that he doesn't know, and he ends up falling in love. So it starts from just sort of a curiosity to something that is very essential to his life.
You know, I read the book Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda by Becky Abatelli, and I loved it. I fell in love with it, and it felt so truthful yet so lighthearted, but dealt with serious issues in a way that was relatable. And you know, I think even more so after reading it, I was like, okay, we've got to make this, and we've got to do it well. And I was so psyched to be able to be a part of it and to be Leah.
Okay. So.
And. Yeah, I totally agree about
She's Australian, and for all of you who didn't realize that Catherine Langford was Australian, because everything she's been in mainstream has been American anyway.
They're so good, those Australians. I know. So good they can about do the American accent.
I know, it's ridiculous.
So easy.
And then Americans try to do any other accent, and most of the time they butcher it.
It's terrible. But I see what she's saying about normalizing the coming out process. And this is, I think this is a very, very important film. It might not make the most money. It might not ever make it to number one. But for the generation that is growing up right now, I think it's going to do a lot.
See, and so my sister and my 13-year-old niece, she took my 13-year-old niece to go see this, and they loved it. And so I think it's what I love about my sister is my sister's very liberal, I guess you could say, like me. But
progressive,
that's the word I was looking for. But, you know, she wants her Aislinn, sorry, my niece's name, she wants her to realize, you know, that just because you're gay, nothing's wrong. And they live in Texas, which is traditionally not always the most progressive state. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's just trying to teach her that along the way. And I think seeing something like this helps, you know, especially for those kids who are struggling with their sexuality or questioning, you know, especially at such a young age. Anyway.
Well, and in places like that, and even where we live, they're still I mean, it's still very conservative. But you look to entertainment. You look to certain things to find something or someone that you can connect with. And then you don't feel like you're an outsider.
Right.
Necessarily. And
that's why representation is so important, I think, you know. Mm-hmm. Between and this was a really diverse cast too, like we talked about, and you know, it's important to have that because there's kids out there who don't get to see this sort of thing all the time,
and
even, that's what's important,
right? And if they're in places where they are surrounded by anyone that's we're all the same, but then they see something like this, like, oh, I want that to be my high school. Like, I felt like they created it because it was like they wanted it to be, this is the representation that hopefully we all grow up in something like that. But if not, they can see themselves in each one of the characters. And I mean, here's another thing, it is Simon's story, but it's these other characters' stories as well, and they did a really good job of spending just enough time, you get to know the other supporting
and
characters.
And starting to like develop those characters, and so you just end up liking all of them, you know? So, yeah, it's great.
And so, before we get to spoilers of who Simon ends up with at the end, so you're introduced, so there's a mystery, we don't know who Blue is, the guy that he is emailing and writing on the other end, but Simon picks up on certain classmates thinking, oh,
maybe
could that be
him?
Blue?
Maybe.
And so then you get a little bit of a little snippet of them emailing Simon, and then you come to find out, oh, it's not
it's
them.
It's not them, yeah.
So it kind of, throughout the movie, you're trying to figure out who is Blue.
Yeah.
And the one thing that I will say that Nick said in his interview about you get to know someone. So Simon got to fall in love with someone without necessarily the physical attraction there. obviously there has to be a physical attraction, but he mm-hmm. he fell in love, and they both did. They fell in love with each other, not knowing who the other one is. And I mean, I will say back when I was growing, I mean, when I was coming out, the internet was big and you would be in chat rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I connected with several guys across the...
I feel like there's a lot of people that can relate to that aspect of it, especially in the world of online dating.
Yes.
It is, it's super easy to really fall for somebody you don't actually know, mm-hmm. Which can be sometimes dangerous, but sometimes it works out. So, yeah.
I dated a few that way, mm-hmm. that we met online.
Isn't
we
that how
forever.
You met your husband?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there you go. See, told you it works out.
It does. But the thing is, you do get to know somebody before you throw in the physical attraction.
Right.
And the physical attraction is just like the icing on the cake.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Oh my gosh, I know so much about you. We've had conversations. You know, a lot of people, you know, they're like, oh, these teenagers are always on their phones. And they're,
mm-hmm.
But they're still communicating.
Right.
They're just not communicating verbally.
Right.
But they are connecting and they are... Basically, people who are turned like their friends and classmates and people that are in their world,
mm-hmm.
they're sort of like pen pals, electronic pen
yeah,
pals.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And you get to see people, right? I mean, you know. And then if you can throw that, oh, I'm also attracted to this person, or that person is one of my best friends, we tell each other everything, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I think there's something to be said, and I think that the movie set it up.
I think so.
Perfectly.
Was there any point of this movie that you could relate to? As your teenage self, can you think of, like, was there any of that that...
Oh, the drama around somebody said something about somebody else, or you're lying to somebody to kind of cover something up,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. I mean, I think a lot of people can put themselves in Simon's position. Like, there's something that they wanted, that a secret of theirs they didn't want to get out, and they had to lie, and it affected somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, not to that degree.
Right.
But, you know, if you were dating someone you weren't supposed to be dating,
yeah.
or you had feelings for someone and you're trying to keep it a secret, and then somebody found out about... I mean, there's just so much crap in high school. And so I think people can relate to that aspect.
Yeah,
what about
absolutely.
You?
I mean... Oh, hold on. Cat's calling
you. Oh, my goodness.
Come here. Come on. Are you coming in? You're just going to stand outside and meow.
Yep.
Okay. Sorry, guys. I mean, yeah. I mean, I was really quiet, and I didn't date or anything, so.
What about the theater kids?
The theater kids, for sure.
That's
like,
what
that, flashbacks.
Yeah.
Flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
For me, for sure. Just the whole theater production part, and, you know. There's lots of those kinds of kids who
mm-hmm.
think they're really good at it and they're not, or those ones
right.
who are a little uptight and the the exasperated theater teacher. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And the faculty members who were pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
some were cool,
right,
some
exactly.
tried to be cool.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that
part definitely
mm-hmm.
I related to.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway.
What else? Oh, the Tony Hale character I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, he was funny.
He kind of reminded me of Tina Fey's character. Like, Mean
yeah.
Girls a
yeah,
little bit.
Yeah, a little
like,
bit.
There
mm-hmm.
were some similarities because, you know, you had the different teens and the different cliques and
mm-hmm.
how they all, you know, interacted.
Yeah,
and
the
didn't...
theater teacher was my favorite of the faculty.
Oh,
she was really funny.
So funny.
So funny. Some really, like, laugh-out moments.
Great.
With her.
She had the best one-liners.
Right, she
Absolutely.
Really did. She had some of the funniest moments, so,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Okay, so Greg Berlanti, who produced this,
He directed it.
He directed it. He also, he basically created the superhero
yeah.
block on the CW.
As far as I can tell, this is one of his first, he's won one other feature film, but this is one of the last ones he's done. But, like, he is just he's created pretty much every superhero show on the CW.
Mm-hmm.
And, wow. So, and he has a very long history in... TV, so
yeah.
It's just interesting.
And he actually read the
so
book.
So he knows he knows that audience pretty well.
He
I'd
does
say.
Know that
yeah.
audience.
So he knows that audience
and
pretty well.
And he does, and I think that says a lot
yeah.
with the writers that he worked with
right.
to give these characters what he kind of describes, and you'll hear in a second, an authentic voice. So
yeah.
the dialogue that's in the movie, they pretty much have a good idea of that's how teenagers are talking
right.
today.
Yeah.
And it didn't... It seemed normal
to me.
I mean,
they seem like... Regular kids. Right. Yeah, I agree.
So, all right. So here is Greg talking about the book that he fell in love with and just the love story of this movie.
I think one of the things Becky captured in the book that was so special, and I think the writers have sort of done the same thing, and then the actors, everybody sort of amplified it along the way, is an authenticity to the voice, to the voices. I think that's one of the hardest things to sort of capture about young people is just like, what do they sound like? What do they talk like? How do they refer to each other? And how can it be sort of the moment, but still, you know, timeless in a way? And I think she always had the spirit of that. And I think throughout, I've just tried to keep that spirit alive and to keep, make the, you know, the film hopefully just as resonant as the book is in that regard.
All right.
Okay, so there was a twist, sort of a surprise ending.
A little bit of a twist, yep.
Okay, so going through, he went through a few different classmates mm-hmm. who he thought might
be his
Blue.
Pen pal with Blue. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when we got to the end, and again, spoilers.
So spoilers, we're going to talk about the ending here. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't seen it, you don't want to know, just FYI.
When we were getting to that point, did you think, do you have any idea who it was?
Honestly, I thought it was going to be the piano kid, Miles. I know his name is Miles Heisberg or something like that, who's been on Parenthood. I forget what his character's name is. I really thought it was going to be him. So I was really surprised when it wasn't.
Cal. Okay, yeah. So did you think it was going to be a character we knew, or do you think it was somebody new?
I assumed it was going to be somebody we knew. Okay. Just because I feel like that was the only way it makes sense. Like, not some random that we don't know. Like, I knew it had to be somebody we knew, so. Mm-hmm.
But some people thought it was going to be somebody totally different.
Really? I never thought that. Like, it only makes sense to have it somebody he knows. Like, mm-hmm. someone who's already in his life. Yeah. That was the only way that made sense to me.
Okay, so watching throughout, so Cal was the one you liked the most?
I did like Cal, but I liked Blue. Mm-hmm. What's his name? What's his character's name?
Bram.
I really liked him, too, so. When it was real that he is Blue, I was really happy.
Originally was like, oh my gosh, I want it to be him so much.
And he was the first guy that he mm-hmm. suspected. Mm-hmm. But then they're at this party and he finds him making out with a girl. And, you know, that's when you're like, oh, well, it's not him, obviously.
Yeah.
But it was.
Even after watching just one time. You're like, oh my gosh, all the clues were there.
Right.
He was always connecting with Simon. Uh-huh. There was something there. He was super nice.
Right, super nice. There was that moment at the party where they're...
Oh yeah, because he was always trying to...
He takes his glasses off, which is a very flirty thing to do.
It is.
Right. Yeah.
But kids these days...
Yeah, I don't know.
Pansexual, bisexual.
Pansexual, they're everything. Right.
But no, like, he was like, hey, Simon, you want to, you know, like, he was trying
Yeah. And do you think that he knew at some point who, like, Simon was before he was outed? Do you think he had an inkling that Jack was...
I don't think so, because in one of the scenes where Blue was writing back, he's like, oh, I now know who you are. But maybe, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because you think he would have been kind of doing the same thing that Simon
probably.
Was.
Right, probably, yeah.
Oh, who is it, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah, that's a good question.
Just that moment when he, like, gets on the Ferris wheel.
He's like, hey, can I sit next to you? And I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Is he trying to be nice?
I know, oh my God. And it's, like, slightly awkward, you know? Like, mm-hmm. there was so much of that was so... genuine, I think, in what would how it would really happen. But then they kiss and it's like, tears. It's one of the last moments of tears.
Yeah. Okay, so watching it the second time, I was watching his reaction to everything. Mm-hmm. So once they stop talking, you don't see Bram in the cafeteria. You don't see him anywhere. The next time you see him is once Simon posts that he's going to go and meet that guy on the Ferris. And you see him at the desk reading it. And you can see, like, right away, I could tell that Simon, like, oh my gosh, like, that's him. Like, he's Blue. But you couldn't. He was in no scene. He wasn't in any scene. Because remember, like, in the beginning, he was always sitting at the cafeteria
with
him. Nope. He was nowhere to be found for the rest of it. So you could tell probably what was happening was he was avoiding Simon.
Yeah.
And Simon didn't know he was avoiding him.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's so good. The signs were there. Because, you know, he deleted his email address. Yeah. So he was, so that's
right.
That's
he got part scared that, off, as Simon said.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think from the time that happened, it was over Christmas break, mm-hmm. to the time that everyone got back together it was still cold out, and the play was still going on. Plays are in March. So let's say this was probably 6 weeks. It was a six-week period.
Yeah, right, yeah.
So it might not have been weird for him to, and they probably, even if he did, no, because Simon was that was another thing.
Right.
So he, so good.
I know, that's so good. Right, good. Right. So good. Mm-hmm. So good. So, what did you think of the whole the theater kid, you know, outing him? Like,
kids do that.
I know. Kids, it was that. Awful. I hated that character. I really didn't. I didn't like him that much.
I was trying to think. I think, looking back on it, I thought that maybe Simon, when he came out to Abby,
mm-hmm.
he'd be like, look, and
right.
I'm pen-palling with this guy. Like, if he had done that,
right.
but again, he was so focused on
right.
coming out. But right. if he would have done that, then it would have, but then you wouldn't really have a movie.
I really liked that moment where the theater kid, what's his name?
Oh, yeah.
When he's, like, trying to apologize.
Martin.
And he's trying to apologize, and Simon's like, no, you know, like, don't talk to me. That, like, I'm supposed to choose when I get to come out, and you took that away from me. That was a really great scene. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just, like, oh, God. Again, just so many tears in this movie.
So, speaking of tears, so there is a part in me that I didn't like.
What's that?
And it was Simon not crying when talking to his parents.
Yeah.
Because his mom, I mean.
Right.
What his mom said to him.
I know.
He should have broken
right. He should have been
down. Like, I'm not kidding.
Oh, I know.
And
I bet.
Even with his dad.
I know.
He should have broken
right.
down.
Yeah.
That was the only, those are the two nitpicky. I think there were not even tears. His eyes weren't even red. Like,
right.
I'm sorry. Like, he wasn't coming out to them. But
especially the scene with his dad. Just because his dad sort of a little bit struggled with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and him coming to this terms of, like, I'm sorry, I should have known. Or,
and I think,
you know, apologizing for making stupid jokes.
Looking back at it, and I really liked how the parents reacted. I think the dad reacted because, remember how Jennifer Garner says, you and your dad do everything. Like, you
right.
guys are so close. I think when he asked about
right.
how long have you known, like, why,
right. why
what wasn't right. I the first person
right.
you
and
came
like,
to?
And, like, why didn't I know, you know,
right.
that sort of, yeah, no.
But then
I
he's
think
like,
right.
okay, well, I've been saying all these bad, not
yeah.
bad things, these weird things,
yeah.
and maybe not. But I think I just, yeah.
Yeah.
And,
Yeah.
Because this movie could have gone off the rails
right.
several times.
Right.
And it
oh,
stayed
it could,
on track.
Absolutely.
It
yeah.
wasn't the typical
right.
way, oh, parents are going to have a problem with it. And then,
right.
nope, that's not this story.
Right. Yeah.
Even when you have cool parents.
And, like, even Simon, when he's struggling on whether when to come out, and he's like, I know my parents will be supportive or,
yeah.
you know, and that sort of thing. It's just,
right.
you know, trying to just when the right moment is,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, anyway. I don't know.
And I want a sequel.
I would love a sequel.
I want a sequel.
I want him to go to college.
But then the problem is, I don't want to see them break up. I don't want to go through
right,
that bullshit of, oh, they have to break up for them to get back together
right.
kind of thing. But again, if they could do a sequel where it's not that typical thing, like, I don't know. But then you don't have a good story.
I don't know. Maybe it's just a, like, life. Like, sometimes you just, like, especially high school romances don't always
right.
stick around. Then you go to college and you kind of find yourself.
I know, but I want them to be together forever.
I know.
There's,
yeah, they were so cute together. I know.
So great. Okay, so real quick, before we wrap up, let's hear from Bram himself, Kenyon Lonsdale, about...
also Australian.
Also Australian, about this rare love story.
Yeah, here you go.
It's very rare to see a big movie like this with you know, a male love interest for a leading man character. I think that that's really rare. And to also see them in a high school setting, you know, these two young guys growing up and dealing with this, you know, in a really sensitive, beautiful, but also like very realistic way, I think is super cool. And it's surprising that it's unique, but it is.
So I am now ready to, and I've seen this a few days before, we saw it again today, I am ready to absorb everything about this movie. I might even read this book.
I know, I might read this book too.
And I told you earlier, I'm not fond of women writing gay love stories. But again, there's, because it's really bad, like this, like the intimate scenes, but we don't have any of this.
It's true.
It's the very end. So maybe, and if everyone else liked this book, but I want more character. And I really want to learn more about the other characters.
Yeah.
Especially Leah.
Yes, she's great.
She's
our great. Friend, though, was like, oh, what a poor Leah. Like, what happens to Leah? Abby and the other guy hook up.
Yeah.
And then
yeah. Well, Simon. I know.
This is funny.
I thought they should have tried to pair her up with someone.
Right.
But then that would have been too
much. Well, you know. Sometimes.
At least she didn't end up with Martin. I think Martin needs to find someone different.
Yeah.
He needs to get out of high school now because he has burned some bridges.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I thought it was really too cute at the end when he's like, he's part of the, Brahms part of the group now, and they're
all getting good coffee.
I know. And they're like, oh, we're going to skip school today, guys. We're on an adventure to Atlanta.
Yes.
I know. Cute. I know. So cute.
It's a feel good movie.
Yeah. So feel good. Yeah. And like I said, lots of crying, but it's all like happy, sweet. Like,
and at least it wasn't cliche where it's like, oh, we're going to end at graduation. And
whatever. Exactly.
Like,
it was so good. Highly, highly recommended. Yeah. It is the feel good movie you need to see. Like, I don't know. Filled me with so much joy.
Mm-hmm.
Really glad we went and saw it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm ready to see it again.
Me too. Me too.
Well, guys, we want to hear what you think of Love, Simon. Hopefully we didn't spoil it for you.
Yeah.
It's still a great movie.
It's still a great movie. It's just...
Glad to see.
Yeah. So great.
We need to ask Wendy to get on our podcast and talk about it. Because remember, our yoga instructor. She loved Queer Eye. We need to let her know that she needs to go see Love, Simon.
She really does,
And we will get her on a future episode.
We need to get her on an episode,
of our podcast.
She's great.
And chat.
She's a lot of fun. So
she is.
Okay, so you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, at A Gallon of Gay. You can email us at agallonofgay@gmail.com or go to our website, agallonofgaypodcast.com, and message us there. So we'd love to hear from you.
Yes, please.
Yeah, so there's all that. That's all it. Find us on iTunes and stuff and rate us, review us, whatever.
Yeah.
Please.
Yes. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening.
Okay, bye.